Are you ready to hear the word of God tonight?
Amen.
Yes? Yes. Amen. Praise God. We want to continue tonight along the lines of evangelism for the church, for us as a body of believers. And we want to be encouraged, and we want to be excited, and we want to get a little more fired up for God, for His gospel, for His glorious word, and by His Spirit and by His presence in our midst and in our lives tonight, He'll do just that with us. Amen? Let's bow our heads for a second. Father, in that name that is above every name, that name of Jesus, Father, to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, to the glory of the God the Father, that Jesus is Lord. Father, according to that great and mighty name of Jesus, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, Father, you will just impart to us, Father, the light of that great and glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, that you will just open us up to that glorious light of love, even now in this hour. Father, let your word be found true as it always is and as it always will be. Let it be found true, stamped upon our hearts and our spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I find my notes, good. If not, I got it written on the tables of my heart anyway. Amen. Sometimes we're better off without notes, aren't we? Amen. Don't you just hate the devil? I said, don't you just hate the devil?
Amen.
Yes. Where's Brother Anthony? I knew he was going to holler and shout on that corner. You don't have to get Brother Anthony going too much, Pastor Anthony going too much when you say, don't you just hate the devil? Amen. But that's what I'm entitling tonight's word. Don't you just hate the devil? Yes. Yes, I hate the devil. And we love the Lord, but we hate the devil. Amen. And we're going to hate him even more by the time tonight's over.
Amen.
And we're going to hate him enough to do something about it.
Amen.
We're going to hate him enough to rise up and get angry, get mad.
Amen.
We're going to hate him enough to do something. Uh-huh. Amen. Well, talking about the evangelism, let's go to the book of Job. Turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 1. What does Job got to do with evangelism? Well, we'll find out. Let's see. The book of Job, chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1, let's take a look at verse number 6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And let's just pause there for a moment. And now there was a day, it says, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. You see, with God, there is always an appointed time and an appointed place for everything that goes on under the heaven. There is an appointed day and time before God for all things. How many of you have an alarm clock? I have one, and I set my alarm clock to get up to go to work. I have to have an appointed time when I have to get up and get dressed and go to work. There is a time that you set to appoint yourself time to get up to go to school. And hopefully there's a time appointed that you set your alarm clock to get up to go to church. I hope there's an appointed time on that clock that says, let's set it for 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and get up early on Sunday morning, get the family dressed, and get them over to church. And I hope there's an appointed time for that, for getting yourself over to church, you and your family, your household. But there's an appointed time, and God sets a time when He's going to bring all things before Him. And there's the word of God says, you know, in Hebrews it says there's an appointed time, is appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There is an appointed time for that. But over here in the book of Job, it says there was a day that God had set, that God had declared and appointed, when the sons of God, and here we're looking at the angels of the Most High God, when the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, what were the angels of God coming to present themselves before the Lord for? What were they coming to God to do? What was the appointed time for? The angels of God, holy angels of God, were coming before God because they had to give an account to God for all that God, you know, God has assignments. And God charges, gives a charge to every angel that is under is his command, that is under his rule and reign. Every holy angel, there is no holy angel that is in the kingdom of God or that is ministering to God that hangs around with nothing to do, twiddling his thumbs or has idle time and says, gee, what do you think God's going to ever call on us to do something? God has myriads of holy angels. Heaven is full of holy angels of God. And let me tell you something, these holy angels of God, of the Most High, they're no wimps. They're no pushovers. They're mighty. They're mighty in the spiritual avenue, these holy angels of God. But they had to come and give an account to God and present to God a pastoral report of their day's ministry, what they did, where they've been, what they've accomplished. God knows all that, but God calls them forth before his throne to hear them and to assign them and command them and commission them to do his business upon the face of the earth and wherever God so desires them to minister, in his presence, wherever. But they came before God, and somebody came in their midst also, who was called Satan, the devil. Now, what right did he have to be there at that time and in that place? Well, Satan is not a man, but he's an angel. God created him an angel. And when God appointed that day for all the angels to come before him, even Satan came before him. And I can picture, and this is after he's been cast down from the heavens, and I could picture these mighty angels of God looking at Satan like saying, God, let me loose on him. Let me rip his tongue out. Let me rip his eyes out. Let me rip his head off. Just say the word. I can see these mighty angels of God saying, what do you think you're doing? Where are you going? Don't you push your way through me. I can see these angels wanting to do some mighty battle and tear him up. But God allowed him to come through the midst of these mighty holy angels and come before God. God allowed that for him to come. And so Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? Where you've been? Where have you been? What have you been up to? What have you been doing? God knows very well where he was. God knows what he's been doing. Nothing's hid from God. Nothing is hid from God. Satan, who is the master deceiver, cannot hide anything from God. He can't deceive God about anything. He can't mislead or misdirect or con God, or he can't cover anything up that God hasn't uncovered. And so God says, Satan, where are you coming from? And Satan answered the Lord, and he said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Isn't that where you put me? Isn't that where you allowed me to roam? That's where I've been, walking up and down the earth, going to and fro and up and down the earth. And God didn't rebuke him. God says, okay, you didn't violate anything. You're where you're allowed to be, walking up and down the earth. And at this point in time, the earth was populated. There were people on the earth. And so Satan was walking up and down the earth, to and fro, amidst people who was upon the earth. And he had to give an account to God as to what he was doing. Now remember, at this point in time, the book of Hebrews says that the holy angels of God are ministering spirits sent to serve you and me. But at this point in time, they weren't really given that which they were given over you and me as it is now in Hebrews. They had a different position back then. They couldn't listen to you. They could listen to God, but they really couldn't listen to you. But Satan, being an angel, he came in their midst, and God says, what are you doing? And he said, coming to, from walking up and down the parts of the earth. And Satan, what he was doing when he was walking up and down the earth, to and fro, back and forth, north, south, east, and west, is he was beginning to impress himself upon people's lives. He was beginning to make an impression upon mankind. He was trying to impress man with lies and with deceptions and with sicknesses and with diseases and all manner of things. But he was out to impress mankind with who he was and with his abilities and powers and the limited powers that he has and whatever that he might have. Now, this is in the days of pre-law. There was no law. There were no Ten Commandments given. And so Satan was roaming the earth, beginning to impress himself upon mankind, beginning to be revealed unto man for who he really is, for seeing him for who he really is. You see, later when the law came to show you, to show mankind how not to let Satan impress their hearts. But before the law, Satan was going around impressing people's hearts with all manner of deception and lies and trickery and whatever. But he was making an impression upon man. But God slowly began to talk to man and show man what man had to do so that he would not be impressed by the devil. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to come back to Job, but look with me now at the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 14. In the first portion, and I'm not going to read through all of chapter 14, but in verse number 3, it says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart." In verse number 4, it says, "That setteth up idols in his heart." In verse number 5, it says, "The house of Israel in their own heart estranged me through their idols." You see, the devil, as he was roaming the face of the earth, was trying to impress upon people's heart to do wicked things, to do evil things, to turn to idols, to turn to any manner of thing except God. And he succeeded in touching people's hearts, in turning people's hearts from God or from godly things, from righteous ways to ungodly ways. See, Satan was successful in his travels to and fro upon the earth. And listen, even today, he is successful in turning people's hearts, impressing people's hearts to turn to idolatry, to turn to lying and theft and stealing and fornication and all manner of things. He's still going to and fro upon the earth, turning people's hearts to things that they should never be turned to. But here in the book of Ezekiel, it says that he was able to turn hearts to wickedness, to turn hearts to ungodly things. He had success in that area. And God said he was displeased with Satan and with those who took heed to Satan, to those who allowed their hearts to be impressed by the ways and the means of the devil. It's not good when the devil walks upon or impresses upon a heart to do wicked. It's not good when the devil walks upon your family members' hearts and turns their hearts to do things that shouldn't be done. A heart that is hard towards God is soft for the devil. A heart that is hard to the devil is soft to God. Down in verse number 11, God says, "These people have turned their hearts, have had their hearts turned by Satan unto avenues that should never have been. But," God says, "but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord." God does not give up on people whose hearts have been turned to the ways that Satan has turned them. God never gave up on them. He was displeased and didn't like what he saw or heard, but he never gave up. God never throws an individual away, no matter what they've been impressed by, no matter what their heart has been turned to by the devil. God never gives up on them. God never trashes them. God never X's them out of his book. God never forgets their name. God's eye is never turned away from them. He's always desirous that they will turn back to him, and he will be their God, and they will be his people. The devil's going to and fro, turning hearts. He is. But God is saying, I haven't turned my face from them, and I will never turn my back. I will always be calling their name, drawing upon their hearts to come to me, God is saying. In the book of Ezekiel, in that same chapter, look at verse number 14. This is a time, and it says, though in verse 14, it says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, though these three men were in it, in what? In the world, should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. Look at verse number 16. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered. Those two verses alone can make your heart cry, can make your heart want to just burst. Because here God is saying, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Verse 22, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings. In verse 23, and they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings. These great men of righteousness, unable to help their families. Job, we know what happened to Job, don't we? God said to the angels, to his most holy angels, on that day, let me just say this. Noah, Daniel, and Job. Noah allowed himself. He was so impressed with God. God had so impressed himself upon Noah's heart that Noah allowed himself to be sealed in the ark with God. He allowed himself to trust God because God had so impressed upon his heart, Noah, I'm your God, and I won't leave you or forsake you. Trust me when I say seal yourself in this ark, and I bring the waters upon the earth. Trust me, Noah. And Noah says, God, you've been so impressed upon my heart that I will trust you. And Noah trusted God as the waters rose and brought the ark and Noah and his family. And Daniel, although Daniel was taken in captivity to Babylon, God had so impressed himself upon Daniel's heart that even when Daniel was separated from his family, even when it looked like everything was stripped from Daniel, Daniel says, I've purposed in my heart, God, not to forsake you, but I've purposed in my heart to serve you, God, because you've impressed yourself upon my heart. And Daniel was a man who was so impressed by God that he was giving his life to serve God in the midst of Babylon. And Job so was impressed by God. His heart was so impressed by God that Job endured with God. Job didn't give up on God when Job watched helplessly as his family was given over to death. And Job couldn't raise a finger to help them or to save them. Yet, Job, how many of you would turn your back on God if you seen your family given over to death? And crying out to God to help and to stop, and nothing was done, and your family just continued to be turned over to death. Job lost his household, and he endured with God. He didn't give up on God because God had so impressed upon his heart that he was God. And Job lost everything, but he endured with God. Because God had so impressed upon his heart. He was in love. You see, these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in love with God. There was a love burning, impressed upon their heart. There was a love that was burning for God that kept them to trust God, to serve God, to endure with God. It was that burning love. There's something about a heart that falls in love. A heart that falls in love will endure. will do most anything. And do you know that God has fallen in love with you before you were even born? God has loved you. God formed you and fashioned you in the womb. And God's heart was in love with you from the day he knit you together. Even before he knew your name. God's heart was in love with you and is in love with you ever since that time. And God wants our heart. He's trying to impress. Every day God is trying to impress upon our hearts his love. So that our hearts could turn, be transformed, and love him. And God wants to make clear here, even through Job, the devil's heart never was in love with you and never will be in love with you. There is no mercy, no compassion on Satan's heart for you. And as Satan goes to and fro, up and down upon the face of the earth, it's clear his heart is not in love with man. His heart has no mercy or compassion upon man. He's out to deceive, to steal, to kill, and destroy without mercy, without respect to child, adult, senior. It makes no difference to him. His heart never loved you. His heart never will love you. Our hearts should never be given over to him or to his ways. We should never give a piece of our heart to the one who hates us, who was out to destroy your family. Should we give him a piece of our heart? His heart's been proven to be against you and to be against God. But that was a horrible day. Job couldn't save his family. Job couldn't, as much as he loved God, he couldn't save his family. And he was pressed hard to save himself. Lord, why? How long, Lord? Why can't I do anything? God said in Job 1:7, Satan, whence comest thou? And again he told him from walking up and down the face of the earth. And God says, you're in no violation. You're where you're allowed to be. You're doing what you're being allowed to do. God didn't enjoy this. Understand that. God didn't enjoy what the devil was doing. God didn't like it in the least bit. And God didn't instruct him what to do. But God allowed him to be himself on the face of the earth and amidst men. And him being himself and loosed in the midst of men, he wrought destruction. And he wrought all manner of wickedness upon mankind. In Job, go with me back to the book of Job, chapter number 1, verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Devil, have you seen his actions? Have you heard his words? Have you become mentally aware of my servant Job? Have you learned anything in your travels when you stumbled across Job? Did you learn anything? Do you understand, Satan, anything about my servant Job in your travels upon the face of this earth? When you came across Job, did you consider him? God said, Satan, I think you need an understanding of my servant. And the devil is saying, your servant, God, let's see what your servant has. Let's see who this one is that calls himself your servant. Why don't you put your holy angels on the sidelines, God, and let's see what happens. Give me an opportunity to come against your servant. And let's see what happens to your servant, God. And I could see God's holy angel saying, no, no way. Don't do it, God, no. Don't put us on the sidelines. Just let us loose on the devil right now. We'll handle him. But God was saying, no, you're not going to handle him. If I allowed you to, you will. But my son is going to handle him later on. For now, you're going to have to wait on the sidelines. My mighty angels of God, you're going to have to wait on the sidelines for now. Just move back a little bit. And the holy angels of God as they reported to God concerned their assignments, I can hear them saying, why is God doing this? Why is God allowing this? Why is he telling us to hold back from helping Job and his family? Why is even the angels of God? But God had to put limits on the devil. Otherwise, he would have just totally destroyed Job altogether. And limits, we know that they can be frustrating. Limits. Not being able to help, only to go so far and your arm can't reach anymore to help someone. That's frustrating, and you're crying out, another inch, a little bit more, and I can help, and you can't reach. And the angels of God were frustrated. Job was frustrated, couldn't help his family. Job was frustrated as he couldn't do anything about the sicknesses and the diseases that the devil threw upon him, the boils. Job was helpless. He couldn't do anything. He just had to sit there and receive it and take it and glorify God. And just cry out and say, I will not forsake God. I know God too well. I can't forsake my God. You know, when you can't do anything about a broken heart, as Job's family perished, his heart had to be crushed. I was talking to one of the bakers today, and he was telling me about his a friend of his whose daughter was burned up in a fire, and how crushing that was to this woman. How crushing it is when a person loses a member of a family. But how crushing when your whole family is destroyed and you couldn't do anything to help them. It's crushing. Who is there to help? Who is there to mend? Who is there to uncrush your heart? But the devil is going about trying to impress people with all manner of things. And for what seemed like a long time, the devil was running to and fro upon the face of the earth, doing whatever he wanted to do. But that was then. That was back then. God was beginning to allow man to see the revelation of Satan and to see that his heart is godless, that his heart is merciless towards man. But God says there would be another appointed day. On that appointed day, he said, Satan, you're not in violation. You can continue to do what you're doing. But he said, have you considered my servant? When you were running to and fro, did you stub your toe over my servant and did it hurt a little bit? You couldn't trample upon him like you trampled upon the other people, could you, Satan? He endured when others couldn't endure. Isn't that true, Satan? Your devices and your deceptions really didn't prosper against my servant, did they, Satan? And although he put many things upon Job, Job proved himself to be a servant. And let me say this, a servant of God endures. No matter what, a servant of God endures and goes on and goes on in loving God. No matter what, they love God and will serve God and will trust God. But God says, there is a day when I have appointed before me, a day when there would be born in that earth where Satan is going to and fro. There's going to be a day when the Christ, the Savior, the salvation of man will be born. And God said, there'll be a day appointed when that Messiah, when that Christ, when the Son of the Most High God, whose name shall be called Jesus, when he comes upon the face of the earth, he's going to make a revelation to mankind. He's going to reveal good news to mankind concerning this one that's running to and fro and back and forth upon the face of this earth. The Messiah will come. There's a day appointed, and he's bearing good news. He's not bearing sorrowful news. He's not bearing sadness, saying, oh man, there's nothing you can do against this one who's going to and fro. But man, there is something. There is a day, there is a power, there is an anointing that will stop this one in his tracks. There is something coming. There is something that will be inside of you There will be one who will bear the sins of man who is coming. There's a day appointed when the Messiah, when Christ, would make a way for our sins to be washed and forgiven, for us to be in fellowship with God. There will be a day when the Messiah, the one crucified for you and me, the one who bore your sins in mine, there was a day appointed when he would go upon the cross of Calvary and give up his body, and his blood would be shed, and he would be broken in every manner and in every way, and the sicknesses and the diseases and the sins of the world would be pouring upon him. But he will give up his life for you. He will lay it down for you that you may live, man. And he's saying there will be an appointed day on the third day when the Son of Man, who was crucified and laid in a tomb, there's a day appointed by the power of the Most High God when the tomb, the stone will be rolled away. From out of that grave shall come the Messiah, the Son of God, the risen Savior, the risen Lord, the one who has stripped from this one who's going to and fro, who has taken from him the keys of life and of death, and they shall take those keys and rise up into the heavens, and he shall stand as the intercessor forever for mankind before my face as God. Jesus will stand and intercede for you on your behalf as you come against this one who's going to and fro. And God says, listen, there's an appointed day when the Spirit of the Most High God will be released into the hearts of men through Christ Jesus, through those who receive Christ as Lord and Savior. There will be an appointed day when the Spirit of God will indwell you and empower you to do something, to make a difference, to say something you could never say before, to do something you could never do before, to go somewhere you could never go before. God says, I will indwell you with the Spirit of the living God, that you may go forth to preach the gospel to every creature. And God is saying, come on, church, the world is ready to be impressed with love, to be impressed with truth, to be impressed with what is healing, to be impressed with life, to be impressed with joy and with peace. Enough of being impressed with lies. Enough of being deceived. Enough of being impressed with sickness. Enough of death. God is saying, church, impress the world with my love and joy and peace. Impress the world with the power that I have given unto you. You're no longer helpless and to bind Satan. You're no longer helpless to grab Satan by the throat and cast him down. You're no longer helpless to destroy the works that the devil has established and wrought on the face of the earth. The Bible says now, today, through Christ Jesus, through the good news of the gospel, whereas Noah and Daniel and Job, as much as they were helpless in helping their household, they couldn't save their household. But now the word of God says that you and your house shall be saved if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has appointed a day of salvation for your household. God says, you're not like Noah, and you're not like Daniel, and you're not like Job, where they were helpless. Today, you're greater. You can save your household. You can save your son. You can save your daughter. How? With the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has power to overcome every deception and every lie that the devil has impressed upon their heart. The gospel can break the chains that holds your people bound. God has given you the gospel that has the power to open blind eyes, to make the deaf hear, to make the dumb to speak. The power of the gospel of Christ is released. How can they hear? How can your son, how can your daughter hear? How can they be saved? How can you reach out to them today unless you preach the gospel to them? Unless you bring the good news of the Messiah, of Jesus the Christ, unless you bring that to them, how can they hear? How will they be loosed? God said there's another appointed day. Go with me to the gospel of Luke chapter number 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. Can you give me another 5 minutes? Luke chapter 18 and 19. Jesus says, and he said unto them, who's he saying this to? He's saying it to his disciples, to those who've chosen to follow God, to listen to him, to take heed to his words, to those who are called his disciples, those who want to learn of Christ and hear the words of life and of liberty and of truth and of righteousness. And Jesus says to them, he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You see, there was a day when Satan could go before God and just stand there. But today, it says, the Bible says there was a day when Satan was kicked out, no longer listened to by God. God says, Satan, I'm no longer going to have anything to hear from you. Get out of my heaven. Get out of here. And he's saying, behold, I give unto you now. God is saying, the tables are changed, Satan. There was a day when I told my holy angels to stand on the sidelines and to just put limits around you and to be helpless. And I can see the holy angels of God rejoicing even now. As even now, God says, as now, Satan, the tables have turned. The day has changed. There's a new appointed day has come. You've had your day, Satan. Now my people will have their day over you. Now, holy angels of God, mighty ones, now, it says, your ministering spirits sent to serve. You can commission angels of the Most High God to go in areas where you've never sent them before, where you can't go, but they're there now to take up your challenge and your commission and to go and do things that you never thought possible or never were able to do before. These mighty angels of God in the spiritual realm now have to take heed to you, because you have the indwelling Christ in you. You have the indwelling Spirit of God in you. You can commission angels and you can send them forth to into your families, even though you're not with your family. You can commission a holy angel of God, a mighty one, to go and just do what he has to do in that area, in that arena, in that household, to do whatever it takes to set the captives free. But God is saying, you've been given the word of God. Now you have something more powerful than Satan can withstand. You've got the word of God. As he's going to and fro upon the earth, you go right after him and chase him. And you catch him and you grab him by the throat. You throw him down, stomp on his face. You take back from him what he's taken from you. You take back from him what he's taken from your neighbor. You take back from him what he's taken from your friends. And you just strip him of all authority. You track him down and you chase him. God said there's an appointed day. He says, behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you power to tread over all the forces of the enemy. You know, this is where God is saying, now the devils, the angels of Satan, those angels who chose to follow him, the lesser angels, there's no angel, there's no demon that is following Satan that is greater than the holy angels of God. Those are mighty, mighty, mighty angels. But God is saying now to these little demons, these little devils, devils, you're not going to stand on the sidelines and watch as my holy angels had to watch, because you're helpless. You're going to be fleeing in all different directions. And devil, you're going to be running for your life, because I've given my people power to tread over you and to all the forces of the enemy. You can scatter the demons and the devils in every which way. You can give flight to the devil. The Bible says, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he shall what? Walk away? No, he's going to flee. That means running, and running kind of quick. He's going to be fleeing from you, because you've been given power to tread over scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. The tables have turned. A new day has dawned. But listen, 5 minutes. God said, have you considered my servant Satan? Have you considered him now that I've given him my spirit, that I've washed him in the blood, that I've made him a new creation? Have you considered my servant who can endure, who can trust me, who can have hope in me, who can love me, who can crush your head? And he's saying, devil, you better run. But listen, the devil is not afraid of the power in you, and the devil will not flee from the power that is in you, but he will flee from the use of the power, the use of the word that is in you. When you bring that which is in you out, then the devil is running. He's on the run. He'll look you in the eye and say, yeah, great, you got the power in there, but you ain't going to use it. You're too chicken. You're too scared. You're too intimidated to use the power that God has given you. So I'll just stand in your face, and I'll just kick your son, and I'll kick your daughter. You're too intimidated to use the word of God. You're too intimidated to use the power of God against me. But the minute you say, devil, I'm no longer afraid of you. I hate you. I can't stand you. And now I've been given power and authority. I rise up against you, and I'm going to use the gospel of Jesus Christ to come against you. And I'm going to use the gospel of Jesus Christ to set my son and my daughter free, my husband and my wife and whoever. I'm going to use it to set them free. When you use the power, when you rise up in the spirit and let the word of God come out and the power of God be released from within you, the devil has to run, has to flee, has to let go, has to give up, has to just say, God, what did you do? God, take this servant off my back. Take him off my head. He's hurting me. He's crushing me. Maybe the devil cries out for mercy, you know, when you're stepping. I wonder if he does cry out for mercy. Huh? God isn't going to give it to him, though. And you better not give it to him either. You better not show no mercy to the devil or to any of his cohorts. Amen. I want to say this. Don't think, as some people do, that we're still living in the Old Testament, where the devil can do to Job, to you, what he did to Job. We're not in the Old Testament. That was back then. That was on that appointed day back then. But we're living in a new appointment. We're living in a new anointment. We're living in... We're living in a new anointing. We're living in a new day when God says, no, things are changed. Things are changed. It's different now. You have power and authority. Rise up from this one. He's still allowed, God said, to go to and fro to grab whoever he can. But when he comes across a servant of the Most High God, he should tremble and fear and shake and try and hide and run, because out of you should be flowing the power of God, the word of God, and we should be. Listen, don't you just hate the devil? Haven't we been impressed by God? If we've been impressed by God, we've got to impale the devil with the word of God. And we've got to be impassioned for Jesus and for the men who the devil has trampled in this life. We have to have a passion in our hearts for the Lord. And we have to have a passion for man over whom the devil has trampled in his travels to and fro on the face of this earth. Why did Jesus say, take the gospel and go into all creation with it? Because the devil has traveled throughout all creation, and he's not going to stop. But the devil says, where he's been, you go. Where he's been, you go. You've got to follow him with the good news, because what he has taken captive, you've got to set free. The people that he's deceived, you've got to bring the truth to. The people that he's imparted sickness to, you've got to impart healing to them. God is saying, take the gospel to all creation over all the face of the earth. Don't keep it to yourself. The devil isn't stopping yet. He has not been, that day hasn't been appointed for him to cease. That day will come. Listen, that day will come, but it's not yet. He's still allowed to go to and fro and up and down. But God says, now you can go after him. And you can, the Bible says, Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. And now God is saying, you have to go into the world with the gospel of Christ, because that is the only thing that can undo what Satan is doing. That's the only thing that can unbind what Satan is binding up. God is saying, that's why it's important. Why did I go through all this? Why did I give you the gospel? Why did I bring it forth? So that you can have power on the face of this earth. God is saying, now it's your turn, servants. Now it's your turn, servants, to go to and fro and up and down upon the face of the earth. Now we should be going before God's throne, and God would say, where have you been? God, I've been to and fro, up and down on the face of this earth, releasing captives, setting them free, bringing the gospel of Christ to them. God, I've been going to and fro on the face of this earth. I haven't been sitting in my room. I haven't just been hiding to myself. I just haven't been feeding myself. God, I've been going to and fro on the face of this earth. That's where I've been doing, God, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And that's what I just want to leave it kind of right there. It's time, I think. The time's up. But there was an appointed day when you couldn't save, man couldn't save his family, himself. But the day is now when Jesus, when God has said, you can save yourself and you can save your family. And you can go to and fro with the gospel because it's power, because it's real. And you can do, make a difference. You can bring salvation. You can bring healing. You can bring healing to a broken heart. You can bring restoration. You can turn a backslider back to the Lord. Undo what the devil is doing. Only you can do it because God has enabled you to do it. And that's why we can't keep the gospel to ourselves. We can't hide the gospel. We can't put it under a bushel any longer. We've got to let it come forth. It has to flow from our very lives. Go to and fro upon the face of the earth. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. But God says, who will go? Who will go? And I just want to do this. Just bow your heads for 1 second. As we're bringing this to a close, I just want to pray. If there's anyone here who has not given their lives over to Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the Word of God makes very clear that God loves you. God formed you and fashioned you in the womb. He knows all there is to know about you. But God loves you. And God is calling you even this night by name to come to the cross of Calvary where his son Jesus willingly took on human flesh and went to Calvary's cross and laid down his broken body, poured out his blood that you may be forgiven of sin and have eternal life with him. That you can be free from the tramplings of Satan in your life. Maybe the devil's been walking all over your mind and all over your heart. He's probably broken your heart and brought all manner of disillusionment to you. Unrest, no peace, no happiness, no joy. He's robbed from you and from your house. But God says he wants to give unto you eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and beyond that, he wants to bring you healing and wholeness and restoration and restore what the devil has done in your life. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and to be the Savior of your life, to take away your sin and to bring healing and wholeness into your life, if that's you, if you've never done that, then I challenge you tonight to just slip up your hand and say, Jesus, I surrender myself to you this night. Come into my life and be my Savior and my salvation. Heal me from all the tramplings of the devil and restore me. Is that you tonight? Are you here tonight? If you are, then just lift up your hand and we're just going to pray with you a prayer. If that's you, don't be ashamed, but give yourself over to God. And let God be God in your life. Are you here tonight? We bless God and we thank him. He's a glorious God. Church, we've been around the altars. We've prayed. We've asked God to give us boldness, to be not selfish, all manner of things. But tonight I just want to have you all stand. Let's all stand together. And I want you all to just begin to praise and worship God and to let God know that, God, I'm your servant and I'm going to go to and fro on the face of this earth. I'm going to carry your gospel, God. I hate the devil. I hate all he's doing and I hate all he's done. But I love all that you're doing and all that you've done and all that you will do. God, lift up our hands to him. Father God, I will bear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Send me, O God. Commission me, O God, as you have already done through your Son and through your Word.
Lord God, give me, as we've prayed, the boldness and the encouragement to go forth to and fro and up and down the face of this earth. Lord, that we may set our families free, that we may deliver our children, our sons and our daughters. Father, that we may cast down sickness and disease, that we may go forth with healing in our wings, Almighty God, that we may be a great people for the Lord. Father, we will not run from the devil, but we will run after the devil to chase and capture him and take back from him what he has taken from us and from our families. We declare this night, God, that we are your servants. We are your sons. We are your daughters, living in a new day, living in a new anointing, living in a new appointment. And Lord God, we shall not be intimidated. We shall not be fearful. We shall not be afraid. But we shall go onward and upward with you, and we shall be victorious. We shall be conquerors. We shall be more than conquerors. We shall ride the horse of victory. We shall go forth with triumph in our voice. We shall go forth with an exultant banner of victory. We shall declare the greatness of our God. We are not ashamed. We are not ashamed. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we declare it is power to salvation to all that believe. Church, let's rejoice. Rejoice before God. You just go on and praise Him. Praise God. Give God a shout of praise. Worship Him, church. Worship God. Worship.